Hello and welcome to the Historics Vidcast. This week around, we have our very own classic car specialist, Dominic Lake.
Morning.
And a debut to the Vidcast is Daniel Godin.
Hello.
Someone as young and handsome as myself, as you can quite clearly see. Today, we'll be deliberating the best cars and the ultimate guide to the North Coast 500, talking about drives and how we can use those classics of ours. We'll also be discussing, has the bubble burst on the new sports car supercar scene? Obviously, we'll be talking about everything auction. But let's get straight into it, chaps. What are the best cars to drive the Northwest 500? Now, Dan, you've done this.
I have. I did it last year. There's about five of us who went. A few cars. I took a 911, 86 911, which 86. Great fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Super Sport Targa.
First
didn't
question.
Break down.
Did you drive? Did you drive there and then drive?
We drove there, which is a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah. It's
motorways the whole way there. Mm. Cameras everywhere. I wouldn't advise it, but if you're on a budget, then that's the way you do it. So, but yeah, once you're there, it's superb.
Okay, first tip is probably then, if you're going to drive there, stay somewhere nice the first night, ready so you're fresh to go around the 500.
Exactly,
obviously
exactly
you're gonna
that.
Another drive, aren't you?
So. Exactly that, and that's what we did. We stayed on the east side, east coast, and then we sort of went up the whole of the east coast up to John O'Groats, right to the sort of the north point of Scotland. And then all the way around, the West Coast is by far the better side.
Really?
All the great roads. Yeah, it's fantastic. But you definitely want to make sure you can find some hotels prior. If you get stuck out there, you are in trouble.
Well, I think so. We obviously think of it from a car perspective, but there are obviously the people doing it on romantic things. There are cyclists.
People on a lot of caravans, which everyone in supercars goes nuts at, obviously, as you'd expect.
but the locals all hate the people in supercars?
Oh, they hate, yeah.
Can you imagine in your own village, just every 5 minutes, another V12?
Loud noises, V12s. I mean,
yeah.
Disaster. Not for us, but for them.
So, you had a 911. What other cars were on
this party? We had a 981 Cayman GTS.
Nice.
BMW Z4.
Not so nice.
Hairdresser's car.
Yeah. Sorry for Dan's friend there.
In case you want to blow dry on the way around.
VW Golf GTI, which was actually possibly the choice because it was so comfortable and getting there.
Yeah.
I think he actually had the best time. What else was there? Mini Cooper S, John Cooper Works.
That was a bit crazy.
Which was a little bit touch and go, but super quick and kept up with all the others.
What about getting your car there by train or something? Wouldn't that be a better option than
flying
up?
A lot of people who do it, they fly up and get the cars transported to Aberdeen Airport or wherever it is, Edinburgh or whatever, and then just drive from there. Which is the best way to do it.
It makes a lot of sense, isn't it? Because obviously, as you say, you're going to get there otherwise quite exhausted. And if your joy of driving is part of the fun of it, you don't want to have wrenched yourself first. Or get to the end and think, oh, blimey, now
we've got to drive. That's exactly how I felt when I finished.
Because when it says 500, it doesn't mean 500 there and 500 back,
No, exactly. Yeah, it's a long old trip. Yeah, yeah.
So what the roads, obviously, we think about this much like other road tours as thinking of the fantastic roads and the drive. But obviously, they're real world problems. There are other cars on the road. It's not obviously designed to be a racetrack.
Not at all.
Are they
the roads aren't great actually. You'd think they would be considering the following for it. And if I'm honest, you wouldn't want to take a supercar around some of the roads because they are a little bit hairy and a bit sketchy in places.
Well, it's a fairly new concept, isn't it? Only been going since about 2015, the idea of it.
I think it's
become a bigger thing, but it's always been there. I think it's always been sort of the choice to go to.
Been the tourist. It's been notified as the tourist route to go around and see the coast of Scotland. So I think it was probably pandemic, really, wasn't it? Lockdown
Well, that's why we did what we did. We were going to go to Europe. We just decided to stay in the UK and do that, which was a great choice.
Yeah. Well, off the back of that, I noticed there's another one called the Heart 200, which is a slightly smaller route in Scotland, which might be something people consider doing.
So on the trip round, how quickly did you do it? Because I had a quick read up on, actually, the idea of doing it myself. And a lot of people say, if you have the opportunity, do it in 5 days and do lots of stops and really enjoy not only the drive, but obviously also the actual... the scenery.
That's what we did. We did five or six days, I think it was. We stopped Like you said, we got up there, stopped, and then just made our way around. I mean, the right at the top end, there aren't many places to stay. No, there's probably only a few hotels.
So you start east side,
and then as you go, John O'Groats right at the top.
Yep. Because that means Inverness towards the end, that would be, wouldn't
that's
it?
That's right, so, yeah. So east coast, as you come around, the west coast, the roads are amazing, and the scenery is amazing. Not many hotels, not much signal. If you break down,
oh, yeah,
which I thought I was going to a few times, yeah, you're in trouble,
well,
basically.
I think the week before, the week before you were going, your car was in the garage.
Yeah, it was. It was in the garage until 10 o'clock the night before in Kent, and we were going from London. And I was sending it to everyone on the WhatsApp group going, yeah, guys, I'm struggling a bit here.
I might be in an Audi estate.
Yeah,
instead.
Exactly. I might be in my Audi estate instead.
So to go back to which car, you think that perhaps a more modern classic, and I think Matt knows where I'm going with this, a more modern classic lads.
Certainly not an XJS.
The more modern classic is the one to go for, based on the Golf GTI being the car that was most successful on your trip. Hang on for a moment. And the views are so good that a convertible would be ideal, given the weather. So... the combination of those two can only lead me to tell you that an XJS convertible is, as you know, the right car for the North Coast 500.
Every single time.
It's got to be. It's the car that suits everybody's requirements.
I know. I tell you what, I can agree with him. For once, I can agree with him. And for the very good reason, you said there's not much phone signal. So when you break down, you just roll it into a lock and leave it there.
Exactly,
another one,
absolutely.
Thankfully, gone from this planet.
Yeah. And especially your one, Blake, which is... a nice example.
It's a beautiful example.
You still got to sell it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, I've had a quick flick through again at sort of beauty spots, because obviously you're going to want to sort of pin through all the way around. So, presumably you want to drive for, say, 3-4 hours, stop, have a bit of lunch.
That's right.
3-4 hours on, so you can pin it. And there are beauty spots, places to visit all the way through.
Yep.
And there's this, I'm not trying to get this right with all these pronunciations, but it's Dunrobin Castle. Did you see that
yep.
one?
Yeah, I didn't go there. So I went with a Scottish guy who basically organised the trip. So we stayed at a few other places. There's plenty of places.
Inverness is obviously a big one to start or to stop with, because the castle there, nice town, good place to either rest before you get back or rest once you've just got there. Yeah. Old Manister, Rogie Falls, which looks idyllic. I mean, most of it looks amazing. Mm. We always think that of Scotland. It's always a bit sort of underthought of. You know, people travel all the way to New Zealand if you just go to Scotland, it's very similar. It's amazingly beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do we stay? I mean, on the west side, you've got to go to Applecross. That's one of the main attractions. There's a great road there, which is sort of quite famous. That's become a real, like,
driver's road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a great pub there as well, the Applecross Inn, which...
I presume you've done a bit of research on pubs for me.
I don't drink anymore.
Oh. Yeah,
those days are long gone, lads.
That won't last long, trust me on that.
So all those whiskey distilleries, all those opportunities for stopping and having a half...
That's all part of the fun, Dom. You know, if you're not going to do that...
Well, I am weak-willed and can easily be...
easily be persuaded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cars, let's say, which, if you had an open checkbook... Dom, what car, shall we say, other than an XJS, would you like to take?
Well, that's my answer, and I'm not going to change my mind, so there we are.
You must have a better answer than an XJS.
See, you know, okay. I love them.
Okay, well, I would... See, personally...
Nice one, I think, I agree with.
Or possibly, the more modern version, the XKR. Jaguar XKR, that would work a treat, I think.
Do you think your sort of decisions are slightly biased on the fact that you used to work for JLR? Jaguar Land Rover? Or do you think it's just you actually like the cars?
Hasn't crossed my mind.
No.
You're still hoping they'll come back with some sort of sponsorship for
you.
See, I thought, and I've got this sort of thing, I quite agree with the fact that the modern would make a lot of practical sense, but it would also dull the senses a little bit on the driving aspect.
The problem is the roads actually, they sort of camber.
Mm.
And if you've got traffic sort of coming your way, you almost have to sort of get off the road. And if you're going quite sort of spirited driving, you sort of find yourself sometimes in a bit of a hairy sort of situation, and sometimes those cars, they're just not good.
But I've also found that with a lot of drives you can do in this country, and that's why touring's become so popular in Europe, in the UK, our modern cars are too quick for our roads. Our roads haven't changed, and the prettier, the more beautiful, the scenic, the spot, the less that road has changed for 500 brake horsepower saloon now. So I was thinking, and I could be completely, well, I'd like to do it in something like an old E-Type Roadster or Austin Healey and really then work for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wringing the neck of the car. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. Getting to, whereas I'm sure if you jumped in a Ferrari or something behind me, you're barely touching the throttle. Yeah. But I'm wringing the neck of it. I'm feeling it and really going for it. That's what I think you could really get.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to drive it up there. I'd definitely want to have it
get transported up there. Do it.
And if
you
did it in a group of five or six, you can probably pay for one transporter,
big truck, get it up
split
there.
The cost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which I think would be a much more enjoyable trip.
Absolutely.
You know, that, or you know, it's either that or you're going with your missus, but then you've got to sit on the motorway for an entire day to get there. It won't be good when you get there, will it? Or fly her up halfway around. So what about yourself? If I had to do it again,
I would do it in the 911 again. It was pretty good. And like you say, because it was an older car, it's still fairly practical, but because it was an older car, I was really driving. I was doing a lot of work. I mean, a friend of mine, Jamie, who was driving in the modern 911 Cayman, he had the aircon on, automatic, you know, easy as you like.
Yeah.
So missing, totally different experience.
Yeah, missing some of the...
If I did it again, I'd go for something slightly more... Ferrari California, something like that. Soft top, quite easy to drive.
You'd want the noise of the exhaust maybe as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was thinking that. I didn't want sort of DB9 Ferrari. Wouldn't be a bad shout again with a convertible down, because it's got that lovely exhaust note, but it's also quite comfortable. Although, as we've always said, the XKR's probably the better car.
Or a caravan, you know. If you want to.
Okay. Well, as we're talking about that, Mark, here's Mark, our intrepid owner. Join us quickly, Mark. Now, we're just talking, if you can hear me, we're just talking about the North Coast 500, which is a beautiful drive around Scotland. Beautiful. We've just talked about cars we would take around there.
Yeah.
What would you like to drive around the North Coast 500?
I don't know why you would even ask me that. I'd be in my Aston Martin DB5.
It's got to be.
Every day of the week.
It's got to be.
Without a doubt, yeah. I would be James Bond.
Yeah. You'd have to have that shot when you...
The whole way around.
Frame up, black and white photo with the mountains in the background.
Oh, yeah,
the What's the wishes of it? Is it Skyfall, the one where he goes to Scotland?
I think it is.
It's Skyfall, isn't it? With that road. I mean, you might have to detour there and have a little photo, up on the...
That would be it.
That was actually filmed in Norfolk.
Was it?
Yeah, it didn't actually make Scotland. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I've learned your lesson today.
The long way round.
Learn from the master.
Every day's a school day. Every day's a school day. So, would you like to do that one? Do you think you could do 5 hour? I think it's 5 days driving around Scotland.
Oh God, no.
Well, you can do it. I'll take it for you next year.
I would be so bored.
I can do that one next year.
I'll do a couple of hours each day. I'll be off doing something else.
You can do it in 15 hours, they think. One shot, 15 hours. That would be Mark all day long, wouldn't it?
It
wouldn't last 15 hours, Matt. That's it done. A couple of hours driving around, that would be lovely. But if it was sunny like it's been there,
yeah,
I might change to my Range Rover because the air conditioning. I'm very easily swayed.
It's like you and Don with his drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for popping in. I know you're busy. Yeah, we can kick you out again now. We've got to go on. But
I'm so glad I'm so important in this company. I feel like I'm at the highest level or at the lowest level. Well, a lot of the time at the lowest
keep
level.
Keep expectations low. Okay. The case, isn't it? Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks,
have a good
Mark.
Day.
We'll
see you soon. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Okay, so what about other drives? We could do the Northwest 500, but anything on your bucket list that you'd love to drive in Europe across the world?
Pacific Coast Highway, Route 1, California, San Francisco all the way down to Los Angeles. I did it years ago on a rugby tour, so it was just a total different mindset from a car-based trip. But I think I'd love to do that, going into Carmel, Big Sur, 17-mile drive, Pebble Beach. I mean, it's just iconic names and just fantastic view.
So what you're saying is you did it on a rugby tour, so you'd like to go again because you can't remember it.
Yeah.
And what makes it better?
17-mile drive and the Route 1 down the West Coast is a great one. Another one I'd like to do is the Stelvio Pass, which I think Top Gear did a while ago. I recently watched that again, and that looks superb.
They do look incredible. And actually, I think the drive there can be quite enjoyable as well, because you're doing something slightly
different.
Yeah,
going through Europe.
It's the Stelvio Pass, and there's a Trans-Romanian Highway, which cuts between...
Oh, does it?
It's absolutely amazing, the pictures of it. But again, I bet you'd get there and find there are 40 supercars going up down, and 50 odd cyclists all shouting at you the whole time. So you do want to get it right, but those two I think would be lovely. I'd love to do a driving tour of Italy.
Yeah,
it would just be one of those things. But I don't know what I'd want to drive in again. A customer of ours works out of Brooklands, and he's got a DB5, and he drives it everywhere. That's what you'd like to do, owning something like a DB5. And all over his Instagram, you always see him. Whenever he goes to see a client in Europe,
he'll
literally take the DB5.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And then just get out and shots use it. Of it driving through the Alps to find a client in Switzerland. And so it's an absolutely stunning way of doing things. Yeah. I'm sure he gets there absolutely crucified every time and spends a whole day recovering. Yeah. But the
looks
memories
good from the
of
outside,
driving there.
But, yeah.
And the Instagram account looks absolutely fantastic, of course. Absolutely stunning. Subject two, I wanted to go through this modern supercar, sports car bubble. Now, a lot of talk in the press about the bubble bursting. I mean, it's all coinciding with fuel prices, which thankfully are coming down again, energy crisis, cost of living, and so on and so on and so on and so on, which shouldn't really affect one another because people that are driving sports cars, supercars, shouldn't have that same stress as some of the rest of us. But it has been talked about that bubble bursting. And I know that Ed behind the camera is looking a bit nervous here because he's spent a fortune on a car and he's worried about the value it's coming down. But is that bubble going to... Why does it even exist? How can you buy a car, drive it for a whole year, and it not be that special, as in, you know, it's not a one of three, and it still be worth more money? Mm. What's the reasons?
There's the whole supply and demand issue, isn't there? Microchips being on short supply, car delivery now being 6 to 12 months from placing order. The world sort of turned upside down, really, from when I was selling cars.
It has.
And that has this massive impact on the values. Of course, it does. You know, but I don't think that the bubble will burst in a really quick way because the motor trade moves like an iceberg. You know, it's a very slow thing to change its mindset or for those things to have an impact. And so it will happen over periods. And we see that the values of cars that we sell, you know, they don't suddenly drop off a cliff overnight. They move gradually, don't they? You know, and I think that will happen in the new car market as well, in the supercar.
I think they're quite mileage sensitive as well, you know, the modern cars. You know, that's the key to it.
Well, the key on modern cars was always that you could own one, but it was the depreciation curve that you're trying to beat. And so normally you'd have this sweet spot a couple of years old where you take the majority of the depreciation out of it and you could carry on. Whereas that curve hasn't started for a year or two. So people would be able to own these cars whilst that demand is still there, then sell it before the demand diminishes, and then the second owner gets a depreciation curve, which would be unusual. But then you've also got people speculating. So a good example is Tom, obviously, Tom Exton, who works with us, and he bought a Range Rover. You know, that car's going to be worth more than he paid for it for 18 months. You know,
it's the wait time as well, isn't it?
Exactly.
Obviously, like Don was saying with the chips and all the rest of it, is you're ordering these cars and they're not turning up for at least a year.
But also, if you have a car for 12 months and you sell it for profit, that's no problem to the manufacturer. They don't like it if you order it and you sell it straight away. Granted, that's a no-no for a lot of manufacturers. Ferrari have always fought against that. But if you can still own a car for 6 to 8 months and then sell it for profit, which is what's happening with a lot of people investing in cars. Now, there is a point to my conversation here, is that it's ever so slightly more risky to do this with modern cars. Because if it does suddenly hit that depreciation and everyone suddenly puts it all on Auto Trader, let's say, that will... Their
even a small percentage
moves
going to be a chunk of money.
They'll bomb £20,000 before you know it. So my point would be, does that not still make classic cars the better investment?
I think as an investment, classics, they're more of a stable investment for sure. And you know, we've seen through the market for many years that there's always buyers out there for them.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty stable market.
You can always buy a classic car, you can have that classic car for 10 years, and invariably, with no guarantees, it's kind of worth at least what you paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've only had the cost of owning the car.
And you get to use it while you own it. You know, the modern car thing is you're so scared about driving it and putting miles on it. Whereas
classics aren't as mileage sensitive. I think the main thing and the difference between the two is if you get out and drive a classic and use it, it's almost a better thing, really, because you're using it. If it sits in the garage, it's not always the best thing for it. With a modern, you know, there's plenty of people out there that don't want to drive it because they don't want to put the miles on it.
But you've got 5,000, so. Can't go 5,000 miles, can't go 10,000 miles, can't...
It's just going back and forth in the shops.
It's a bit like, you know, the frustration with electric and worried about running out of charge, isn't it? But with that, it's worrying about moving it too far forward. And I've always said this, when I'm buying a car, the idea of buying it at 49,000 miles is absolutely ludicrous. I'd rather buy it at 51, thanks, because someone's charging me a premium for 1,000 miles. That's useless to me. I'll get it at 51, thanks, and I've got 9,000 until the next point if I really do care, which I don't, because cars shouldn't be about mileage, should be about how well you look after them. Mm.
I think the only thing with classics that you've got to sort of take into account is the cost of maintenance, which may be more, but I think, you know, if you weigh up the two, I think, classics are definitely the way to go.
Top tip. Top tip for investment. Get into classics. Keep in classics.
Yeah, keep going.
So, next auction. We are heavily consigning for the first auction that we've ever had at Bicester, which we went to the other site. What a great site.
Exciting.
That is.
Really super. Really good site. Yeah. Really good site. Lots of specialists on site. You've got fabricators, dealers, storage companies.
And it is like, again, a bit like Brooklyn.
A brewery.
A gin
Wrigley
distillery.
Monkey Brewery. Brilliant place.
And the, it's
and
gin,
the gin distillery.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, but you're not drinking anymore.
No.
So, you know.
Yeah, you can watch. You can watch from afar.
Yeah, you will see how that goes. So, but it's like driving back in time, but actually they've adapted well, haven't they? Because actually it's really useful for anything like us and these other classic car companies. It's a great place to go. They've got a Sunday supercar scramble as well the weekend we're there.
Yep, it's a supercar, poster car and supercar
That's
day.
And if anyone's if you've never done a scramble at Bicester, the scrambles at Bicester is fantastic. Not only because when you get there, there's such a good diverse collection of cars, but actually the drive to Bicester is fantastic. The roads in Oxfordshire, although the Oxfordshire police don't like it, are absolutely fantastic. You know, just don't go near Oxford City Centre where they just don't like cars at all. But the roads are brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I was blown away when we went there. I really liked it. It means that we're going to have 180 cars inside.
Yep.
There's always that. There's always that trade-off, isn't it, about the cars that
being in or out,
been inside or outside, weather dependent. And I know we've enjoyed the best weather that we can remember for a long time, but that's going to change, isn't it? But all of the cars under one roof, purpose built. Well, purpose built for the RAF 60 years ago. Ideal for us, you know. And that really links back, doesn't it? That sort of historical link as well is perfect for us. I love that. Yeah. That synergy that
so
gives
them. So that's 24th of September. So we'll be open on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for viewing. So come along. It's a great drive up there. Promise you. You won't take your classic. That's the main thing. Or something
absolutely.
Enjoyable.
Especially
drive up to us.
Especially with the scramble on. There'll be lots of classics out and supercars.
And don't just come and see us. Wander into the village and have a look at what else is on display. It's really, really good. So cars. Have you got anything on your road radar? Anything good? Anything that's particularly sexy that you want to talk about?
Do you know, there's a couple of cars that have been consigned, one by me, one by one of the other guys in the office, and I think these are tremendous value. Slightly modern. You know, I've got a sort of a hankering over the more modern classic. There's an Arnage T that is sort of mid-teens. Bentley Arnage T. It's a 200-mile-an-hour supercar.
T's the one with the sportier engine, yes.
In a saloon car body, you know. Yeah. I mean, you can take the family, you can go on it. I think they're just amazing.
Super value as well.
And just
super
a fraction value of what somebody would have paid 20 years ago.
And I still think, if you said to me, chauffeur-driven cars and things like that, and that end of the market, the new stuff all looks a bit crass. But give me an Arnage.
Yeah.
I'd take an Arnage.
It's really cool. And it's still comfortable. Yeah. It's not like you're actually driving an old Shadow. It is a lovely, comfortable modern car. But
keeps up with modern traffic. It's
and then a
car
that's 10 years older than that, but very similarly priced. There's a Ford XR2, really low mileage one that's in the sale. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that go through.
You know who's going to love that, don't you?
Go on.
Vicky.
Oh, yes. She will.
She loves that.
Yeah, she loves an XR2.
Because it's my car, you think, or because...
No, just because it's an XR2, sorry. But maybe we'll see if we can get it on the driving. Maybe we should take it for a drive for the driving app in the next couple of weeks.
What a lovely thought.
Yeah, she does love the old XR2s, 205s. That's very much that per street. So we may be able to get her to drive in that one. But they're good news at the moment.
Probably.
They're still relatively expensive.
And who would have thought at the time when they were new that Bentley and that Ford XR2 are now going to be worth about the same price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
I remember as a teenager playing, I think we played five-a-side football or something. And I remember it was the era that everyone was just getting into first cars. I think I had an old Fiesta ST with horrible wheels on it, and a stereo that was way too loud. Typical horrible abusive cars. But then the guys that were the coolest had XR2s and Nova SRs.
Wow.
Oh, they were the coolest cars you could have. You know, and basically it's just a Ford Fiesta with some plastic on it.
Exactly.
I mean, they're not very quick, but they were the cars to have. And of course, then
that's why they're doing well now.
Or if you do really well, and you just want what you didn't have.
Nostalgia, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's why they're popular.
So, what about you, Dan?
So there's a few. We've got one on the radar that's hopefully coming in. I suspect it will be. 1938 Rolls-Royce Phantom 3.
Oh, I've seen that. Pictures
which is
of
a
that.
Really pretty thing.
Really,
yeah, really, really,
really
nice car.
Yeah.
So that would
suicide
be...
Suicide doors. Oh, yeah, that's really pretty. I do.
That would be.
And the even better thing about that is I'm going to see it.
Exactly.
Well, that means you probably won't be coming in then. Never mind.
Harsh.
So but yeah, really looking forward to seeing that. If Dom can get that one in, I'm sure he can. And it would be a good venue for that car
it
as
would,
well. Actually,
wouldn't it? It would suit it really down to the ground.
So,
that.
That's probably my pick.
Have you got a Mustang?
Mustang Boss 302.
That looks epic.
Which is a bit of a beast.
Yeah.
The right colours. It's blue with black interior.
Do you know, may be the same car. I was driving on the M25 the other day, and there was a blue Mustang. It looked very similar. Bicycle rack on the top. The guy sat there, armour. It was nuclear hot. I mean, I had windows out, aircon, sitting there going, sod you lot. He was like, arm out the window, bike on the top, bright blue Mustang. And I was thinking, how cool does that guy look?
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably unemployed, but I mean, he just looks cooler than I did.
Yeah, so. No, they're really good fun things. And I'm sure, that's coming in.
It's going to get busy, isn't it? Because we're 2 weeks out whilst we do this here. By the time you see this, you'll see a full catalogue online. So if you do want to see what we've consigned, go straight to www.historics.co.uk. But equally, and I'll let you know later, so you can follow our Instagram, Historics and us, and you can see what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis, because obviously it is ever-changing. And as we get towards deadline, it just goes crazy.
Busy few weeks for us now.
This last week, I consigned, which is an epic car, a Ferrari F12. And it's circa, it's around £150,000 for a car that is 0-60 in 3.1 seconds. 6-litre V12, 200 miles an hour. And looking at it, it could go 200. Not one of these, it could go 200 miles an hour if you had 3 miles. This thing is super quick. I think it's 15,000 miles on the clock. That's going to be something. I might, again, try with the XR2, I might try and get that for the driving in.
Yeah,
I think that should do really well.
Yeah. Could be another good car for the NC500 as well, that one.
The problem with those modern sports is they're so quick.
Yeah, sure.
That, blip of the throttle and...
Yeah, you're back behind another caravan.
Exactly, yeah. Although at least you can overtake the caravan rather.
Well, true. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there's some really lovely things. So, yeah, keep an eye on that website. Do keep an eye on us on Instagram. You will see that we are very, very quickly. I think there'll be about 180 cars at Bicester. Mm. And as we said, it will be an epic venue to go to. Really great. Not just from an auction perspective, but also to drive around the Bicester itself.
Definitely take a look at Wrigley Monkey Brewery
while you're there. Yes, we'll be seeing that on
Saturday night. That's why I haven't consigned any cars, Dan.
Well, my head's in the right space. Don't you worry about it.
Just so we need to keep you out of there until Saturday after the auction.
Okay, thank you.
So news, anything newsworthy? I mean, Formula One's on the big holiday break. We always talk a little bit about that. I don't think Mercedes is going to be able to bridge the gap and get anywhere near Red Bull.
I think that's gone now for them.
But it'd be nice to see them being able to win races if they can get it right. Ferrari, I mean, so having talked about an F12 a minute ago, they're just having a terrible time of it.
Yeah, I think, a few mistakes in there from the drivers and not quite getting it right. But, Red Bull seems to be absolutely smashing. They've got a really good team.
It'd be nice to think that they come out of the holidays and maybe they have a wobble.
Yeah,
and it just makes
make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. But that seems a bit over. And as we said, fuel prices thankfully have eased up a little bit.
Yep.
So that seems to have changed up a little bit. Anything else that you can think of? Oh, Goodwood Revival's on the horizon.
Yeah, it is.
Going to that. I think most of us are going to that, aren't we? By coincidence, it turns out that all the chaps in the office are going.
We'll be
except
there.
For you, Matthew.
Ah, Matthew, letting the team down.
More to the point, I'm holding the fort.
Okay.
So I will be still working away.
Does Matthew wear the trousers in his house? He doesn't even get to pick the colour.
So yeah, you're both going. What day is he going?
You
don't even know, do
you? We're at Bicester on the Sunday.
No, we're at Bicester on the Monday.
Yes.
That's right.
I'll be at Goodwood on the Saturday.
Yeah. I will be both, I think.
But what to wear, Dan? What to wear?
Get the tweed out.
Yeah.
Get going with the... I don't know what era they're going for this year. I have to have a little look at that.
That's always a great event, though. It's
brilliant fun.
I've been to Festival of Speed a couple of times, and I do prefer the Revival, just because I think it's just a little bit less car showy. Although,
It's a bit more us, isn't it?
It's a bit more us. And people are just generally having a bit more fun with it, aren't they? Whereas it can be a bit serious.
The Festival of Speed, they've obviously got all the new cars that they release. It's a bit of a sort of serious event. Revival's a good fun, there's racing going on. It's a good day out. Mm-hmm.
On internal news and Historics news, we now have a finance arrangement with JBR Capital. So, like retail, you can now finance your auction purchase. Though, word of note, make sure you pre-authorise. You can't just put your hand up and then afterwards go, by the way, can I get finance? But they can pre-authorise you and you can finance a classic car, much like buying it from a showroom. We also have an insurance broker now we work with called Will You. They can look after you. So a couple of offerings there that we have.
Insured my car through them?
Yes, exactly. Just to make it a little bit more easy to work with auction houses now. What we have done over the last couple of years is transport's become easier, the way you deal with this has become easier. It just smooths out and makes it a
much
more enjoyable
process.
So you can enjoy that day you put your hand up and purchase your new car. So do keep an eye out for them. So, on from all the serious stuff, let's have a quiz and see how you guys get on. Now, I hope you haven't been stealing a look at these answers. So it's going to be a road-based quiz. Since we were talking about the North Coast 500 and we've done these road trips, I'm going to go through a few questions and see if you can get any of them right. Okay. And I think if you get any of them right, you've been cheating, to be fair. So, first up, which Canadian city has the longest street in the world?
Montreal.
I'm going to go for Toronto.
It is indeed Toronto, Yonge Street. From what I can understand, though, it is part of also a big auto route, so it has got a longer bit, but the street itself is 35 miles long for the street, part of a 1,000-mile long auto route.
Okay,
it's commonly known. So, right, commonly known as the North Yungas Road in Bolivia, which is known as the most dangerous highway in the world. Without any barriers, how wide is it? Is it 2 meters wide, 3.5 meters wide, or 4 meters wide?
So two, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to say, is it 3.5, isn't it?
Two, three and a half.
I'll say 3.5, just, you know, as you've said, two.
He's got that one right as well. Why do I get the feeling you've been shuffling
there
through this
go.
Paper?
So it's very much like the paper you were reading at your desk earlier.
Yeah.
No, it was a very similar one. It didn't have any answers on that one.
Just saying.
You know, it's, that particular road, at its maximum elevation, the cliff face could literally drop you 4,500 metres. So you wouldn't want to be slipping off.
You wouldn't want to take your XJS up there, Don, would you?
It would do it though, wouldn't it?
Right, the Autobahn, still thought of as the fastest road in the world, with 7,982 miles. But how much of that 7,982 miles has no speed limit?
It's only the bits that aren't near towns,
isn't
it?
Yeah. So 30%, 70%, or 45% of it?
45%. I think it's 75%.
Dominic, 45%.
45.
That's quite a lot of that. It's a hell of a lot of mileage without speed limit, isn't it?
Last time I drove, it was in a Discovery that maxed out at 75 miles an hour.
What a waste, really. Yeah, what a waste, yeah.
Okay, finally, true or false. In California, it is illegal for an unoccupied vehicle to exceed 60 miles an hour. True or false?
It's got to be true, isn't it?
False.
It is true. I don't know why it's completely allowed to be at 50 miles an hour, but at 60, it becomes illegal. Okay. Two, it's illegal for a pet to be in the driver's seat.
Wait, here in California?
Driving?
In California. This is all in California, because it's nuts over there, isn't it?
I should think that's illegal.
Probably allowed, isn't it? They probably can get licenses and all sorts.
It's not illegal, so quite commonly you could drive along with a little poo on your steering wheel if you wanted to. Three, it's illegal to buff or dry your car with used underwear.
I think it probably is illegal.
This has got to be written in a law.
I don't know.
It's illegal, of course it is.
So it's written in law that in California, it is illegal to buff or dry your car with used underwear. However, if it's clean, it's perfectly fine. There you go. True or false?
Where did you get these questions
from?
John. What have you been searching online to get that?
True or false, is it illegal to drive wearing a dressing gown if you're a woman in California?
No, I think that's probably legal.
Yes, you can.
You can do that.
It is illegal. My browser history is going to be all sorts of mess right now. It is actually illegal, written in law, you are not allowed to drive in California with a dressing gown on if you are a woman. That wouldn't be much use around here.
What if you identify as anyone?
Oh, don't get confused about that. We'll be around in circles all day long. Like, is it illegal to allow a passenger to change gears for you?
No,
it can't be legal to do that.
Yeah, you're both right.
That's part of the driving process.
That's fine. Just change gear for me. And then finally, in the state of California, is it illegal to shoot an animal from your car unless it's a whale?
Yeah, I think that's illegal. It's America.
No, it's illegal unless it's a whale.
Unless it's a whale?
Yeah, you can shoot a whale from your car, but no other animal in California.
It's extraordinary.
It's slightly... I mean, the Californian bylaws must be slightly off the wall. I mean, probably now, a bit like my browser history,
but that had Moby Dick on it.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
Right, chaps, so let's wrap this up. Remember, if you have enjoyed this, to check out the Historics YouTube channel, click subscribe, follow our further up videos. We're going to be driving in cars in a couple of weeks with both Tom Exton and Vicky Butler Henderson. And of course, when we're at Bicester on the 24th September, we'll have our promo videos and so on and so forth. Everything is on our Instagram as well, at Historics. You guys have got some Instagram accounts. Myself is at Matthew Pretty. You are?
I'm on at DanielGodin59.
Big dummy.
There you go. So if you want to follow these chaps and see what they're up to, you can follow them. If you keep your eyes peeled, Tom and Vicky will be next time here when we do our next vidcast. For now, thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.